Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
You're called, we are called, to be God's first responders in a hurting world by building hope and healing hurts. Your call in life is to be truly who you were created to be in Christ Jesus for times of crises as well as times of ease. During this period of crises, we are grateful for the gift of life that God has given us, which is exactly why Christ came. And yet we ache for 200,000 deaths that have happened because of COVID-19, a fourth of those within the United States of America. Christ, who has come to give us life and life more abundant, is why we named where we are now our third campus, the Tri-Point Campus of Trinity Baptist Church, a center for life from Trinity Baptist Church. Taken from John 10:10, when Jesus said, "My mission is this, I have come to give you life and life more abundant." In the midst of this crisis, God wants us to know what we can know so we can do what we can do. And that Christ in a crisis shows us our identity, our direction, and our mission. 25 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "Amen and amen," which can be translated as "truly, truly." Amen means "so be it." And so part of the language of worship in the life of the Trinity family is, "Amen, rejoice. So be it, rejoice. Truly rejoice." Rejoice not just in circumstances of ease, but in circumstances of crisis, there is a presence of God stirring inside of us that we may feel a joy then to be the extension of His joy into the world. We know that you are hurting in different ways. The pressures and pulls of life producing pain. And in the midst of that, we lift each other up with an encouragement. All the pain is not the same or of the same degree. But the pain is there in such a way that we may take a joy beyond our push and pull and step into the pain and the life of others. My sister, Anna Kay, who lives in Waco, called me the day that she took my brother-in-law. This was just this past Thursday. Said last I had to take Tom back to the hospital. Tom is a psychologist very respected in the Central Texas region, who for more than 30 years has had rheumatoid arthritis, which has lowered his immunization system. He has been disciplined and taking care of himself while he has been as a therapist and taking care of many, many people. But it caught up with him in his immunization system's suppression because of the medication required for him to take. Caused him to be susceptible to an infection. He went through a long and extensive treatment, released from the hospital to a rehab center, then back home, but then they discovered the infection had returned. Now, so my sister, this past Thursday, drove Tom, my brother-in-law of many years, back to the hospital. She herself could not go in. Knowing that many of you are in the same situation, you have loved ones that you would like to be with in their time of need in person, and you can't, even in this hospital. So what was it that Anna Kay would say to Tom, her beloved? She gave this message. I asked her permission if I could use it today. She said, "What I remember saying is, before you get out of this car, look me in the eye and tell me that you will promise me that you will fight for your life." And with that, he made his way into the hospital to a wheelchair and into treatment. Then she asked if I was going to quote her, if I would include the prayer that I had also texted Anna Kay. You see it here on your screen, that with the Heavenly Father's healing power, Tom is being held close. Tom is willing life into his body as faithfully as he holds God's rod and staff to guide him through the valley of the shadow. You and he will have the wisdom to make the decisions which are before you. The same is true for you, that there is this moment in time when you participate with God by the response that you give to the crisis at hand, and God may work through you to determine a better outcome that would happen otherwise. That's what's going on in the story of Jesus and Peter. There is history still to be determined and how it is that Peter would play his part in the history. And in order to do that, Peter needed to be healed. We invest much of our time and energy in your life or my life and our society to heal the wounds that have been done to us, and that ministry is very important. God wants you to be healed of things that have happened to your life that should have never happened. But it's also true what Peter needed to know, the things which he had done in his life to cause great hurt. Not only was he forgiven by God, which he had been, but Peter needed to be healed from the shame and the guilt. Shame is when other people know what we have done that was wrong. Guilt is what we feel on the inside. And Peter needed to be healed deep within by the forgiveness of Christ so that he could be bold to serve in a hurting world. Now, maybe there are two kinds of hurts in your life you're needing to be healed from. What's been done to you? Claim the comfort and counsel of the Holy Spirit to give you that abundant life who will heal you. But also the Lord takes our sin, our mistakes, our lack of character seriously in such a way that he will heal us from us to go forward. So from this we can know three things. We can know our name, we can know our identity, we may know the power of what it means to have our direction, and we can know the promise of our mission that we are giving out. This promise that what the Lord gives for our life, and so with I know your name, God is calling you to your truest self. So three times Jesus said, as you caught it from the reading of the scripture of CMAC, Simon, Bar-Jonah, son of John, do you love me? Now, the first time he asked that question, he asked it, do you love me more than these? And God's calling you to your truest self, Simon, son of John. Would he step into the fullness of the name that God, Christ had given him, which is Stone, Petros? That was a name that Jesus gave to Peter. Are you going to live by your old self, Simon? Are you going to live by this person that in me you've been created to be? Will you become this person? And so the Lord is saying to you and me today, during this period of history, your personal history and public history, will you step up to be your full self in Christ Jesus? That's what's going on in the story. Our friend Ed Howie put it this way. Take this time to recognize your true you. This pause is a powerful mirror. Look closely. The pause being this shelter in place and working remotely, this change that's happening across our society is to look into our mirror and who do we see? And the call is to be able to see our truest self. And our truest self is found by the Christ who is with us and shapes us. Peter, will you see yourself in light of me going forward? Say your name, Leslie, or your name. Say it and say, Lord, I give you myself that you will name me in your power so that I will be true. So these three times Jesus said, said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, will you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Now, the first time he said more than these. Now, why did he say that? That's part of the sin, that part of the mistake of character that Peter did. You recall, many of you will remember, that in the upper room when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, and it would be Judas, Simon Peter said, Lord, I will never betray you. Never, never. I love you more than these. I will always be faithful to you. And Jesus said to him, Simon, I know you. Peter, I get you. You aren't yet there yet. You will be, but you're not there yet. Even before the morning dawns, the rooster will crow three times. This John 18 passage. Peter had been warming himself up while Jesus was before the high priest, going through a mock trial. And in the midst of that experience, what happened is that he was warming himself up and he was intimidated by the people who were around him. And he didn't have the courage and the faith and the trust to step into the crisis of the moment. And so he backpedaled. All of us know the pain of what it means to backpedal and regret what we did. And so this is a time in history and for your life that we don't have to backpedal, that we can step forward. And it comes by taking in the love of Christ to our life and knowing our true self in light of him. And then to extend this love of Christ with a healing power into the lives of others, to fend my sheep, to tend for my sheep, to give care to the lives of other people. Now, the second time Jesus asked the question, he said, now, he dropped more than these. He just said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I do. Feed my sheep. The third time, Jesus moved from using the word agape, which is the highest form of love. It's the pure form, the spiritual love at work of God in our lives and for our world. It purifies all the other forms of love. And then Jesus went back to what Peter was using, which is friendship love. He said, now, do you have this kind of friendship love? And then Peter was really hurt because Jesus asked a third time, do you love me? And Peter said what we all need to know, Lord, you know all things. Now, Peter's to be commended in this conversation. He realized that he had sinned. He had made a character mistake when he thought he had a love for Christ more than everyone else because he was competing. His ego was threatened and his insecurity, and he tried to cover up all of that. And we will do that when we feel threatened. And the Lord says, don't. Just stop those games. Just stop that game. And just be who you are in me and let me take you, shape you, and give you courage in your character. And so Peter was listening to that, and he dropped that part of it. And then when he said, Lord, you know all things, therefore you know me like I don't know myself. Know that now. The Lord truly knows you. Secondly, move in the right direction. You don't have to have all the answers right now. No one does. I mean, we're asking the right questions. We pray. We're trying to lay out scenarios and options of what we do now and what we do if this happens or that happens. But what we can do is make sure we're moving in a right direction. And the right direction is what the Lord is saying to you. Follow me. Twice in this conversation with Peter, he says, now, Peter, okay, follow me. And then finally he says, what you need to do, Peter, remember, is follow me. If you may have read through the Gospels and you've seen time and again where Jesus said the call of being a follower of Christ is the synonym of what it means to be a disciple, to be a true believer. Jesus said, follow me, that's disciples' language, that's believers' language. In this time, if we are first following anyone else, we will lose our direction. But in the midst of so much that we don't know, we will find the answers of what we need to know as we are listening to Jesus, following him. Know the Lord is always here before you, always here before you, just drawing you closer to him. And in doing so, you may feel his love, know who you are, and he'll be burning and purifying your life, building strength in your character, and feel that goodness which is there. This is not a time that we put life on hold. This is a time that we intensely allow the Spirit to develop us, character inside out, and release the opportunities that God gives. One of those beautiful couple in the life of our church are August and Jesse Higgins, who moved to San Antonio 7 years ago. August and Jesse have been leaders within our Illuminate Sunday School class, our small group experience, our young adult, emerging adult ministry. And in the midst of this, August also joined our pastoral research team a few years ago. He's my assistant. He joined in with our ministry team and works out of the pastoral office. And he has also been working on his PhD. In this past week, This past Wednesday, he defended his dissertation. The dissertation is the book that you have to write at the culmination of your doctoral studies. And in doing so, you defend that. And he was needing to defend it, but he couldn't do it in person because we can't do that now, can we? But he did it by Zoom. There was a professor expert from California. There was a professor expert in Louisville, Kentucky. There was a professor expert here in San Antonio. And the Zoom went on, and some of us were able to watch on Zoom, kind of watch it unfold. And he was beautiful in his love for the Lord, the brilliance of his mind, passed with flying colors, received his PhD, and like for many of you, he won't have the traditional graduation celebration, at least not anytime soon. And so there was a drive-by party of a celebration, the sense of just saying, way to go. He didn't stop living life, but he continued to pursue it in the midst of whatever. A friend of ours is Greg Osborne. He and Mary and beautiful leaders in the life of the church. And in the midst, recently, Greg texted me, and he said, Les, basically, you and I are the same age, and our generation has heard all about the Great Depression, and in doing so, we know that what has been told to us, our parents and grandparents learned how to get over their challenges through their faith. Our children and grandchildren need to be prepared and fearless, meaning that as our generation, his and mine, had been formed and shaped by the courage of people who learned through previous challenges of the Great Depression or World War II, of parents and grandparents, so it is that we've had many crises since then, but in the crises now that each generation wanting to pass on to that next generation. You can do this in light of God. In light of God, you can know your direction with Him and find your way. We can do this together, that they too will have the courage of other faithful people who've gone before, that we then all together may be true. Jesus said, follow me. Are you following Christ through this? Do you hear His voice as the good shepherd through this? Thirdly is be a witness. Be a witness of what is most real. Know your life is always a witness. So see, what was happening in the conversation with Peter and Jesus is that the beloved disciple, who I believe is the writer of the gospel called John, he was listening to the conversation. And Peter did really well in being teachable in the first part of the dialogue with Christ. And then Jesus started saying to Peter, I'm going to go ahead and give you kind of a laying out of the future, what's before you. And that is, you're going to live a long time, but there's going to come a time when your life won't be your own. And in predicting and prophesying of what would be true, that you die a martyr's death. And Peter didn't really care for that. Do you blame him? I wouldn't really care for that either. But what Jesus was saying, if you're following me, even if that is what your destiny is, it's a destination not controlled by the Roman Empire, the people who will try to kill you, but it is a destiny by which you will be a witness unto the living power of God at work through your life. And then, Peter, if you've been faithful here on earth, you will feel that moment of a life well lived. It's the greatest feeling in life to know that we can finish our time on earth with a life well lived by following me. Now, Jesus was saying this to Peter, and then Peter turned to John, and he said, well, what about him? What's going to happen to him? What is his destiny? Is that really fair for him? And we can get distracted when we try to play all the pluses and minuses of what's happening to the lives of others. If we do so, then we lose our own place. But part of the feeding of the sheep is wanting the best for each person. And that was still what Peter would need to learn. How about you? The beloved disciple, John, who wrote the gospel, wrote two endings to the gospel. It ends at the end of John 20. And John 21 is actually an epilogue. It's the epilogue that kind of brings it all together. But in John 20:31, Jesus said, but these are written. What I've written to you is so that you may believe. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. That's what life is about. knowing your name, your destiny, and the power of your mission that God gives you. And then believing is trusting. It is the sense of taking that step into His presence and letting it be. The center of life for Tri Point during a crisis is also, half of it is being used on the Y side as a respite place for firemen coming in off their duty and getting ready for their next responsibility. The sense of a renewal and a restoration in the midst of our responsibilities of life is part of what we give in this mission of life that God calls us to. You know, so many of you worshiping today are worshiping, and you're not only you're sheltering in place, but you're actually in a lifestyle of being in an assisted care unit, or you don't have the freedom to get out and do what you did even when we weren't in this pandemic crisis. Your mobility has changed. You have a lot to teach us. You have a lot to teach us because you've already come to the place of awareness, of acceptance of what it means to be in place with Christ. Be a good teacher for us. Pass those lessons on. And may the rest of us also learn from you. But that every one of us, whether children, youth, or adults, we have much that we may do. Sam Dawson, our friend, also wrote this. And in his writing of this, he communicates a word to get up and be about life in the uniqueness of this moment. He wrote, "Pastor Les, good morning and happy Lord's Day." It was a Sunday's message. And so the question is this: how much longer are we going to sit in location 10, 20, 30 days? The answer is, we just don't know. And therefore, we cannot just sit and wait. We must gird up our loins, keep moving forward, and be intentional about our daily spiritual exercises. Reach up to God and reach out to the people of God. Reach up to God and reach out to people in need. So let's exercise together. Now, when I say it again, I want you to actually move your arms. Reach up to God. Are you doing it? Reach up to God. Praise Him. Worship Him. Offer thanksgiving. Now, with your arms, reach out. Phone calls, emails, text messages, letters expressing our love and appreciation for others. Encourage the lonely and the sad. Reach up to God. Confess our sins. Repent and turn back to God. Reach out. Mend and restore our broken relationships. Maybe even say, "I am sorry." Reach up. Petitions to God, "Oh God, help us to be bold and fearless and certain during these days of uncertainty." Reach out, dear family, friends, and coworkers. "How can I pray for you?" Reach up to God. Submit ourselves totally and completely to the will and purposes of God, which is what Jesus was saying to Peter. That's where you'll find your peace. That's what He's saying to us. So reach out. Serve others, volunteer somehow, send dollars to those who are in need. A brief reminder as Sam closes his text. If you hold your arms in any one position for too long, they'll grow weary and tired. So reach up and reach out. John wrote his gospel at the end of his life. In doing so, by that time, as an older man, he was a leader in a place called Ephesus. I believe he was also the writer of the book of Revelation. He had gone through his persecution and by standing up in opposition to Caesar. They'd made it through some of their own epidemics. They made it through some difficult periods. And so when he was wrapping up the writing of the gospel, he said, "If all the libraries in the world tried to contain the books that were written about Christ, there wouldn't be enough room." And while doing this, he was looking at the library at Ephesus. And Ephesus was the second largest library in the Roman world, next to Alexandria. He looked at it and kind of smiled to himself and thinking, "We think we have a lot of volumes of papyri writings there. Let me tell you, they can't begin to contain. Just as I know that in my gospel, I can't write it all, but I have given a witness of believing that you may know and trust that this Christ is true." So know your name. Be your true self in Christ. Know your direction in order to find your answers. And know your mission by feeding the sheep because of your love. And you will get where you need to be, not only through this crisis and in this world, but for all eternity. Let's pray together. Lord, right now we're at homes and cars and offices. We've been doing this several weeks now, and it feels different, and we don't want it to continue to be as it is now, but it is where we are at this moment, this day, in this stage. We continue to pray for our local leaders, our state leaders, our national leaders, and yes, Lord, as we reach out to our mission partners around the world and continue to support the mission work, that you may also bless the leaders globally. Help us then to work together in the life of the Trinity family with our city, but our world, that we may honor you by how we love you and have found our healing and peace in you, so that we truly may feed your sheep with the truth of Jesus, a living relationship. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.